Welcome to the March 10th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 10 through 16, and the sermon is entitled, Warning, Foolish Teacher, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
All right, take your Bibles, go to the book of 2 Peter chapter number 2, and as we looked at last week, we've kind of pumped the brakes a little bit, and we've slowed down as we have gotten into this chapter, four sermons in this one chapter, but it is one big warning, and that one big warning that we are dealing with are the false teachers that have arisen. Now, we have talked about Peter being concerned that his days are numbered and that he's drawing toward the end of his life, and he is concerned so much that as he is worried about the future of the church and the future believers and who is going to lead them and who they need to be listening to. How many of you know it's important to who you listen to? All right, three of you. Okay, I'm glad. The others are not awake yet. Okay. We know that it is important in what we listen to. Okay, I don't care if it's news. I don't care if it's music. I don't care what it is. It's important what you listen to because what you filter in will eventually come out. And so it is important in all of those areas of what we listen to. And so Peter's warning was this. These foolish teachers were creeping into the church and they were adding things that must be done in order to be quote unquote saved, in order to be changed by Jesus. And so they were adding to rituals to Jesus and they were adding their beliefs into what Jesus had brought. And so it became false doctrine. As we started out in the first week, we discovered that anything added to Jesus is not true. If something else saves other than Jesus, it is not true according to God's word. And then last week, we looked at those former transactions and how God dealt with the lying and the false teaching and the wickedness of the past. And here's what he did. He destroyed it all. And last week, we ended that sermon by saying this. That same destruction would come to the false teachers that chose to do the same. Destruction and judgment would come. Last week, we ended in verse number 9. And that verse ended like this. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So there were two things that we ended on last week. Number one, that the righteous, those in God, would be delivered. We've seen that. And then the other promise is God is going to judge those that do wickedness. And so I know that was a hard sermon last week, but it's truth. But here's the reality. When it comes to false teachers, they are talked about throughout your Bible, whether it is Paul or Ezekiel or Jeremiah or Luke or Jude or John. All of these people wrote and warned about false teachers that were coming into the church. And so we must be warned and we must be ready this day about the same thing. And so when we think about false teachers, they are also teachers that lead on their own. And when they get away from the Word of God, and now listen to me, when we get away from God or when somebody doesn't know God, that's when you not only are false, that's when you become foolish. What is the Bible's definition for the word fool? Growing up, I don't know about you, I grew up in a strict home. I'm just going to be honest with you. And if I called somebody a fool, I might as well call him another four-letter name, okay? Because that was not good, okay? But to call somebody a fool, here is the Bible's definition, and I'm going to give it to you. From the book of Psalm, chapter number 14, verse number 1, here's what that verse says. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So the biblical definition for a fool is someone that does not know God. And so to label somebody a fool or to call somebody a fool is not only commenting on their ways, It is commenting that, hey, you're saying that person is not a believer. But I want you to see the connection here today as we draw into 2 Peter, and that is this. The false teacher is also a foolish teacher because they do not teach the things of God. These false or foolish teachers are directly connected to the roaring lion, Satan himself, that seeks to devour those that we have read about and studied. So usually when we identify a false teacher, we can do so by the things that they do or the things that they say. And so today, there are five ways, and I'm not going to say these are all five ways, but in these verses that we are studying today, there are five ways to identify a false or foolish teacher. And I want to give those five things to you this morning before we leave here together. 2 Peter chapter number 2, starting with verse number 10. Here's what God's word says. But chiefly, them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. And so the first way that you can identify a foolish teacher is by their walk. By their walk. Look again at verse number 10. It says this, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. As we continue all from verse number 9, it promised the punishment of those that would mislead the people of God, that God would judge them, and that God would give them plenty of time and opportunity to repent, but that judgment would come. But we see here in these false teachers or these foolish teachers, they have stopped speaking the name of Jesus. In their wicked lifestyle, their walk has begun to cover up that of Jesus. Listen to these words from Galatians chapter number 5, verses 24. Starting with verse number 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And so here in Galatians, Paul tells the people of Galatia this, that when you walk and when you are a believer of God, you get rid of those fleshly desires. Now listen, I want to tell you this. Everybody look at me real quick. We all battle the flesh, don't we? That is a battle that we all face. But here's what Paul says. Because you are a believer in Christ, you can overcome that battle. You have somebody to fight that battle, and that is the Spirit of God that lives in you. And when the Spirit of God lives in you, He leads you to overcome the flesh. Back to 2 Peter chapter number 2. We are told in verse number 10 that chiefly, the chief desire, the main thing that describes a foolish teacher's walk is their desire to follow the flesh. And as they follow that flesh, these false teachers, they want to take everybody they can with them. They live a lifestyle of lust and passion on their own, and these false teachers would do something grave in this time in which we read, and that is this. We understand and we know what the Lord's Supper is, right? We celebrate that together once every quarter as a reminder of what Jesus did for us. He died on a cross. He shed His blood because we are all sinful people. So Jesus did that for us. But what they did in this day is they would take that feast and that reminder of what Jesus did, and they would turn it into what they called a love feast. And so they would pervert the Lord's Supper. And they would make it a time to celebrate. And they would make it a time to party. And they would make it a time to gather together. And so it became that love feast of perversion and making mockery of what Jesus did for the world. Something that was holy was taken and marred with their own thought and their own partying, and it was removed as that which is holy. And so when we think about somebody's walk, It's not our job. It's not my job to judge your walk. But here's what I tell people. I often am a fruit inspector. And often, as we are going through the fruits of the spirits, if you are a child of God, you should see some of those fruits. It's not perfect. It's not. And so when we are walking for the Lord, yes, we may stumble and yes, we may fall, but yes, we need to be seen as people that are following Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse number 1. Look there for a second. It says this, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. Do you see that little phrase, denying the Lord that bought them? We talked a little bit about that when we went over that verse. But here's what these love feasts did. They took the reminder of Jesus and they took that away and they just had a big party. They just had a reason to party. And so they denied the Jesus that bought them. That authority has been denied in their walk. And so when you are looking at a false teacher, or when you are looking at a teacher, you should examine their walk. Are they following their own desires, or are they following Jesus? And you can quickly tell. Now, that's not judging, friends. When you are looking at somebody that is teaching you, their walk should be a walk that imitates Jesus. There's a second thing. Look at verses 10 through 12. I'm going to start at the end with the word presumptuous. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. So not only is their walk important, but their words are important. What they say and what they speak. That word presumptuous carries with it a meaning of arrogance. It means that someone does not abide by boundaries that are set. There's nothing that is out or in their control. They can go and do whatever they please. And as they begin to despise government or despise leadership, they even look at people within the church, the church leadership, and that's not a boundary for them. They go and they try to influence those people, and they go and they try to do things, actions, words that are misleading to the people or to the believers. So when we see this, they begin to despise the leadership. They use their words to talk down or to blaspheme these people and speak evil of them. And then they begin to work their way. So they start at the leadership and they sow seeds of doubt. They sow seeds that would make people question. And then they come in to try to lead. As we think about Peter writing this, he could be referring to these dignities. Do you see at the end of verse number 10? They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Peter could be referring to those that are in the church. That's my belief, those people that are in the church. But he also could be speaking of the unseen realm, the places of angels and power. They disregard the power of God. They disregard the things of God. And so as they begin to mislead and they begin to misspeak, they say, oh, there's no such thing as God. Maybe you've heard that word before. There's no such thing as God. If there is a person in leadership, I don't care if it's of a country or in the spiritual realm, that says there is no God, you better hightail it out of there, okay? Turn it off. Don't listen anymore. But Peter says this, these false teachers are bold and they are arrogant enough and they can speak evil and accuse the ones that are godly. These dignities, the workers of the Lord, they're not left alone. But here's what verse number 11 says, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. He said the angels are creations of God, and even the angels don't do this. The angels don't speak evil of the people. But these false teachers use their words to tear the things of God down, even the work of Christ. These foolish teachers are compared to brute beasts in verse number 12, natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. And it says, they speak evil of the things they understand not and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. So they take the position, and they take that of a position of a Christian or of a godly person, and then they begin to tear everything down. Maybe you have been to a church in a different religion before, and the first thing they want to do is they want to deconstruct Jesus. They want to sow false doubt. They want to sow seeds there. And in doing so, they have the listener exactly where they want them. Now, here's my job as a pastor, is to preach the Word of God. So I'm not here to tear down any other religion, but here's what I want to tell you. I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way. And I can back that up with the Word of God. It's not my own doing. It's my own thought. It is my belief. But when comparing religions and comparing leaders of religions, as we look at those, you must compare it to the Word of God. And Jesus Christ always rises above. We are warned throughout your Bible, the power of the tongue. The tongue can destroy. And that tongue is a tongue in the foolish leader that speaks against Jesus. Anything that speaks against Jesus is a warning sign of somebody that is foolish. So, the third thing, look at verse number 13. And shall receive the reward of the unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. The first part of verse number 13 gives us our next point, and that is, how do you spot a foolish teacher? You spot them by their wage or their reward, or what are they working for? Look at verse number 13 again. It says, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. We're going to get to that in just a second. But the false teacher that doesn't acknowledge the truth of Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he is the payment of sin, these foolish teachers are influenced by a culture of the day and influenced by philosophy of the day, and they begin to work and they begin to receive their reward. How many of you know that all of us, every single one of us, have to work for something? Amen? We have to work for something. You went to your jobs, and maybe some of you still go to your jobs because you are working for something. You've got to make a living, don't we? That's a message the world needs to hear, but I'm not going to preach that today, okay? I believe everybody needs to work. And those that have put in their time to enjoy retirement, I believe that's, I'm off subject now. Let me get back on subject. But a wage. We do something to receive. And so today, when we think about the wages of sin, what does the Bible say the wages of sin are? Death. What about the wages of making Christ your Lord and being a Christian? What is the wage? Why do we gather? Why do we worship? Why do we live for Jesus? Because we have the wage. We have the promise, not of anything on this earth, but of heaven for eternity. That is our wage. These foolish teachers, their reward would be one of unrighteousness. They would sow seeds of discord. They would work for their own gain, and which we're going to see in just a second, they would be promised their own reward. And they wanted their own wage of money, and they wanted to get rich, and they wanted to take advantage of all of these so-called Christians. And say they were doing it for a reward or for a wage. And yet Peter says this, they will receive a reward, but it's not what they are working for. It is the reward of unrighteousness, which means that they will be banished for all eternity. Today, you can tell a foolish teacher by what they are willing to work for, by their wage. The fourth thing today is you can tell them by their work. Look at the end of verse number 13. It says this, "They count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart that they have exercised with covetousness or covetous practices, cursed children." All of these are works. And real quick, I'm going to go through these works that these false teachers are doing. How many of you know that a teacher usually leaves a mark? Real quick, think back to your school days. I know some of you might have to think back a little while, okay? I do. I've got to go back a little while. Think of one good teacher, somebody that made a good impression in your life. In the school system, can you think of somebody that taught and that you really enjoyed and that made an impact on your life? I can. Now, do me another favor. In church, maybe you grew up in Sunday school, or maybe you grew up in church. Was there a preacher or was there a teacher in church growing up that you can think back and say, that person made an impact on my life? Yes, you can. Here's the reality. Teachers make an impact, both good and bad. So a foolish teacher is going to make a foolish impact on those that he leads. Here are some of the foolish impacts, foolish ways that they have an impact. In verse number 14, it says this, "They count it pleasure to riot in the daytime." Some of their work is a work of rioting in the daytime. Now, this is not a word of rioting, of fighting and destruction that we know of, that we think of, but it is basically the word partying. Okay, they have a party that continues even into the daytime. The nighttime does not contain their partying. Okay, most of the time we think of people partying, they do it at nighttime. No, in this day, it would run throughout the day. It would be drinking and partying throughout the day because there was not enough time in the night. Also, they make an impact of their feast. As we talked about this love feast earlier, they would take the Lord's Supper and they would blaspheme it. They would take their behavior and they would add it to that of which is holy, and they would pervert that Lord's Supper. They would open the gate to whatever. The gate was open to whatever would happen during these parties, and they would invite that in. The third thing that they had is they had eyes. Look at verse number 14. Having eyes full of adultery. The work of a foolish leader has eyes on foolish things. They constantly had an eye on someone, something that they could desire. They could not turn their eyes from sin. And so when you think of a leader, you need to watch their eyes. You need to watch what they're looking at, because this was sinful behavior. But here is the sad part about it. Not only did they have eyes for adultery, look at verse number 14, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. So the work of these foolish teachers is they pursued others to join them. The unstable souls were their target. And these unstable souls were not people that were mentally challenged or anything like that. These unstable souls were those that were new to the faith. And so when you think of somebody that is new to the faith, they are the ones that are vulnerable. They are still under the attack from the old, and they desire the new. And so these false teachers would move in on these unstable souls, on these new converts, and they would target them to join their little group. The end of verse number 14 says this, "They have exercised with covetous practice, cursed children. They had hearts of greed. They were experts in waiting. They were experts in targeting and picking out certain people. They were experts in desiring and pursuing money and power and pleasure." And Peter says this, they are cursed. They are cursed children. They would be they would have an end in judgment. And here's what the warning is for us and for the people of this day, is these kind of people just creeped into the church. These people creeped into the flock. And so the work began. And the work was noticeable. And the work was among the church. So today, you can tell a foolish person, a foolish teacher, by their work. There's one more point before we end today. That comes from verses 15 and 16. It says this, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. The last point that you, or the last way that you can tell a foolish person, is by their ways. And in verse number 15, it says that they have forsaken the right way. They have forsaken God Almighty. And the Old Testament example that Peter gives is that of Balaam. Maybe you know that story. Maybe you need to be reminded of that story. If you need to be reminded of that story, go to Numbers chapter number 22 and read that. That's your homework today. Go to Numbers chapter number 22, and starting with verse number 15 forward, you can read the story of Balaam. But Balaam is one that wanted to follow greed. He had an opportunity to follow God and to minister for God and to speak for God. But instead, there was a man by the name of Balak who offered him a house full of gold and silver if he would prophesy. And what do you think Balaam took? Balaam took the offer of gold and silver, but in taking that offer, he wanted to go and he wanted to pursue that. And so he jumped on the back of a donkey. I don't know the last time you've done that. Maybe you've never done that. I did it one time when I was a kid, and it was an interesting feat. But it was an interesting feat for Balaam as well. As he jumped on that donkey, you know the story, an angel appeared. Balaam couldn't see it, but the donkey did. And the first thing the donkey did when he seen that angel is he took off going the other way to an open field. And Balaam was so mad at this donkey. And what did he do? He took a stick and he beat that donkey. Well, he got that donkey going back in the right direction again. And guess what? He seen the angel again. And he was in a narrow way between two walls. And that old donkey leaned one way against the wall. Doing so, he crushed Balaam's foot. What did Balaam do? He took that old stick and he beat that donkey again. And then he continued on and the donkey got into a narrow channel where he couldn't go either way. And he saw the angel of the Lord again. And that donkey just laid down. And what do you think Balaam did? Balaam beat that donkey again. He beat him again. And here's what God did to that old donkey. God took that old donkey, and only the way that God can, God opened that donkey's mouth, and that donkey, forgive me here, I don't know which one was the dumb donkey. I think the one on the back was. The Bible said it. I told Nathan the other day, I said, I wonder if that's a good question to ask the congregation. As that donkey laid down, and God opened his mouth. God revealed himself not only through that donkey's mouth, but God allowed Balaam's eyes to be opened. And all he could do was to fall down on the ground. And here's what God told Balaam. I protected you. I protected you because if that donkey wouldn't have laid down and wouldn't have crushed your foot and wouldn't have run to the field, I would have killed you. And I would have spared that donkey. I would have spared the donkey. And so when we think about our ways, a foolish teacher sells out for all that the world has to offer. They sell out Jesus. They sell out for their own desires. They sell out for their pleasures of the day. And here's what I want you to see as we close today. If God can use a donkey to speak his word when the prophet wouldn't, how easy is it for us to speak of God? How easy is it for us to forsake the right way because of greed and because of our own desires? When we think about the foolish teacher, it ends with this question: who was the fool? Who was the fool? Was it the donkey or was it Balaam? Was it the donkey who wouldn't go because God stopped him? Or was it Balaam who wouldn't go because of the gold and silver? Who is the fool? One's walk and one's words and one's wage and one's work and one's ways must be measured, because all of those things can be used to mislead the people of God. And that is the warning that we hear today. Now, I know that you're sitting here and you say, oh gosh, what does this have to do with me? I don't teach anything. Here's what it has to do. It is a warning for us to recognize these false and foolish teachers, because they will try to get in, and they will try to mislead. Proverbs 14:12 says this: there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Today, here is the invitation for every person. Not only are we to look and we are to listen to what is being taught and as it aligns with the Word of God, but we are to look at our own lives. And maybe today, something that we've talked about describes your life or your heart. And it may seem like, oh, I'm doing okay. I'm okay. Everything's going to be all right. But today, if there's one of those things, one of those foolish things describes our heart, we need to come before God and say, God, here I am. Help me change this. Help others see you. In a world that says there are many ways and there are many opportunities to get to God, here's what the Word of God still says. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Today, in a world that says there are many ways, the Bible teaches us there's still only one. And it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Today, if you do not know that way, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, today I want to implore you to consider what you have heard and consider there are multiple ways that the world offers, but there's only one that the Bible offers, and that is through Jesus. Today, if you don't know Him as your Savior, it is not my invitation to give. It is God's. And here is that invitation. Come to Him today. Allow the Holy Spirit to work on your heart and in your life to lead you to the Savior. Today, church family, may we be warned. Now, this will be the last sermon from 2 Peter that you will hear until after Easter, okay? We'll come back, but we're going to pick up with the same thing about these foolish teachers when we come back. May we be warned and watchful of the things that are not of God. Let's pray together. Father God, Lord, thank You for this day. Lord, I thank You for a time that we come before You now, an invitation. God, I pray that You would use these moments, Lord, as Your Spirit moves in the hearts of every person, Lord, to draw that one that needs You. Lord, I pray that You use these moments in invitation to draw that heart, to draw that Christian, to draw that believer that may not be walking with You. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You will give us minds and eyes that understand and know and recognize these false teachers. And doing so, God, I pray, Lord, that You will strengthen Your church in this place. God, today, Lord, I pray, Lord, that You will lead us now as we approach You in this moment of invitation, Lord, and that You will meet each need according to Your will. And we give it to You now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.